You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
And welcome back. Good morning. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we are hosting a special broadcast today from the State Convention of the Knights of Columbus here in South Dakota. I think every time I introduce that, I rephrase it in a different way.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, let's see how many different ways I can say the State Convention for the Knights of Columbus of South Dakota. You know, I'm sure it's none of them are in the proper order, but that's okay. So we just got done talking with the state deputy for the Knights of Columbus, and I didn't even ask the very first question on the list, Doug.
And what was that?
What's your role? What's it mean to be the state deputy? Oh. We got down a rabbit hole. That's all right, folks.
That was
That's
good.
All right. But we have we're moving on to Father Dan Smith. Father Smith, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Heather.
It's been a while since you've been on the air with us.
Yes.
How are things?
You know, doing good. It's very good.
Good. So where are you at now?
Now I've been assigned in Sioux Falls, so as of July 5th. I have a couple parishes down there. Father Tom Hartman is the pastor, so St. Michael's in Sioux Falls, St. George in Hartford, and then we have the four prisons in Sioux Falls as well.
Wow.
Three prisons, one jail.
And there's three of you?
Three priests, yeah.
Three priests.
And we help out in the hospital right now, too.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So just a couple things.
Busy.
The largest parish in the city, and then all the others.
Yes.
So,
and I'm the state chaplain, too. So
now you're the state chaplain.
Yeah. That's a Columbus.
So you're a little on the busy side.
Yeah, it's good, though, to be around good guys. And taking the first state convention like this, as far as a role like me, and I've been in others before, but
yeah.
What a good group of guys here. So
yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So many might not know. I would think that some just assume priests are Knights of Columbus, period. And that's, you know, it's part of becoming a priest. You become a member of all of these things, la, la, la. How does it actually work? Not all priests are knights.
You ever heard of a Dominican response is never deny, seldom affirm, but always make distinctions. Or yes or no. So, yeah, there's kind of a by default, once you're a priest, a deacon or a bishop, you're part of the Knights. That's just the Knights, kind of a custom. Now, that doesn't mean you went through exemplification, you were first degree, second degree, or now it's, you know, kind of combined all those first three degrees, or a fourth degree. You're just welcomed in, you're part of the group. Now, some are go through the exemplification process, and you do that. So you actually have you're an official member.
Okay.
And I actually joined, oh man, it's been over 20 years ago, in Sioux Falls. At first degree, second degree, and then in seminary, out on the East Coast, Father McGivney's parish there in New Haven, I became a third degree and a fourth degree out there.
Wow.
So that was, that's kind of where it all started. So it was really neat to be part of that. So to answer your question, yeah, by default, priests are welcome in, but yet some are officially members itself.
Yes. So the first section you talked about was exemplary?
Exemplification, yes.
So what is that?
That's a process when you become into the Knights. So now it's kind of combined the first one, two, and three into one process. So there's some prayers. They've got your information already. It takes, I don't know if it takes even an hour for that. Hmm. I've only been part of a couple of the new process. So, and then you're an official Knight at that point. So,
interesting.
Yeah. And there's an e-membership, too, that works. That's brand new, too. I'm not as familiar with that, but it's kind of a beginning point.
Yeah.
Not through exemplification, but you're still started to be part of a Knight through the e-application, they call that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So what drew you in originally 20 years ago to the Knights of Columbus?
I was just thinking about that, actually. you know, for some reason, you just have heard about the Knights.
Were you a priest at the time?
I was not a priest.
Okay.
So you kind of hear about the Knights. And is it, you know, chivalrous to be part of that? Or there's, you know, part of chivalry? Yeah, there's that part of it. But something about there's a... you look up towards it. And then I was asked by someone in Sioux Falls, would you like to be a Knight? I said, sure. And then it kind of started from there, but you kind of just knew about them.
Right.
They were a great organization, a fraternal organization. Men come together. It's Catholic. and they're a good group of guys. So yeah, there's definitely an attraction to that.
As a man.
Yeah, as a man. And I've also heard, though, the women like that as well. Not all wives, but a lot of wives like to have their husband as knights. Because, again, it's a good group to be around. You're prayerful. It's okay to pray with your wife. It's okay to pray at home. It's okay to go to church.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want that as part of their life?
Yeah. So thinking back, I know this is kind of be left field question, but thinking back to your life when you started discerning priesthood, Where were the Knights of Columbus in that? Were they? Did you talk to them? Did they pray for you? Were they involved? Do you remember?
So, of course, my discernment, again, after you become a priest, you kind of, okay, you can kind of go back to where kind of originally started.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you know exactly that's if you're going to be a priest or not, but I was 8 years old.
Mm.
And my mom, I was taking a bath in our old house. Mom came in to check on me, like moms typically do, to see if I was okay. And I covered myself. Go to the age of reason, wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up there and said, someday I think I'll be a priest. And so then that process took about 30 years. Not that you know that, because you think about marriage, you do date. But then, as far as an official part of the Knights of Columbus, I just really remember that when I got into Sioux Falls, that was about 1999. And I could start to see more of them in the parishes in Sioux Falls. So my friends were knights. And then I think they had 3 or 4 different councils support me during seminary.
Wow.
Because there was one in Woonsocket. Man, I forget all the names that helped me with that. There was a couple in Sioux Falls. I think there was another one, too. So then there was a financial support there, but more importantly, the prayer. And I was invited to come to be part of them. I would go back and offer a first mass in Woonsocket, and I, you know, you do the best you can with that. So yeah, there was a part of about 2000, 2001, and then at 2005 I would enter seminary, and that would continue again. Like I said, third and fourth degree. I had some deacon friends that were going to receive their fourth degree out on the East Coast, and that kind of be part of it. So yeah,
wow,
yeah,
that's beautiful. Yeah,
that's nice.
Thinking about. Brotherhood that you know as a young man heading into seminary, that they're with you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is just really awesome.
That's going to be part of the homily actually tomorrow night, but don't let anybody know that.
Oh! Found a gold nugget, did I?
Yeah. There's something to that.
Yeah, because a lot of times in life we just feel alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even, you know, but to have... There's friends, and then there's friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you have friends, and then you have friends that are praying for you on the other side, and there's night and day,
Yeah.
So
can I add to that, or am I interrupting?
Please do.
I don't want to take
over. Please do.
So the homily this morning at 7 a.m., of course, the gospel reading is about Jesus has a place for us, a dwelling, you know, and part of that is what you're talking about is, okay, you grow up, you know, there's a place for you to sleep. You know, some of us grew up in really good homes, prayed with mom and dad, had a nice place, warm place. Well, our house actually would leak snow at different times. It was an old country home, but it was warm. We weren't cold. I mean, we survived, of course.
Yeah.
But then God asked us, okay, where's that prayer life then? Okay, bring God into it. And I really think, you know, and our blessed Father McGivney saw that the greatness of the domestic church, the home, and he wanted to help families, especially ones that were, you know, the widows, especially back then in the United States. And so the really Knights is kind of founded in that, you know, a place that you can go to, have this warmth, have this more than just a friend. It's a place that you can call home.
Mm.
So it's a beautiful group to be a part of. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or they can help you. So you can, you know, whether you're part of the group or they're helping you, it's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Father Dan Smith. He is the new state chaplain for the Knights of Columbus of South Dakota. We're just talking about how he first got involved with the Knights and kind of where that's led him and shaped part of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just became a knight.
Oh, really?
I did, yeah. So I'm going full in. I just...
Can I ask, where are you from?
I'm in Sioux Falls.
You are in Sioux Falls?
Yeah.
Are you from Sioux Falls?
I am not from Sioux Falls. I'm from Colorado.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Welcome to South Dakota.
Well, thank you very much. So, I guess the question I would ask everybody, to get fully involved, like, what should a man do as far as throw himself into it? Just should get into council and really take advantage of it. I mean,
are you asking or telling?
I'm asking. Oh. No, I would not tell. I'm asking, how do you...
Is the state deputy behind me to answer that? I really, that can be. You know, you talk to some men here that are, you know, the Grand Knights and stuff, how they're just into it. And there's so much the Knights that do, whether from, you know, on-hands things, prayers, you know, the faith and action programs. You got faith, family, I'm kind of remember all those, community and life. And there's all those aspects of that. So you can delve into all that. There's finance as well. But I think it's more a prayer. You know, what layer, like me, I just entered. I just became a knight, I didn't sell the Tootsie Rolls. I wasn't making the beds. I wasn't seeing people, but I was part of a group, and I really appreciated that. So I think there's a balance to get in, say yes, see what that's like, and then find out what's the group, what's that council doing in your area? What do you want to do? You know, and some like our state, the state delegates and stuff. You know, part of the state, the council and stuff. So sometimes you have a greater role, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get out what you put in.
Yeah,
sometimes. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, folks, we need to take a quick break. I was going to ask Father more questions, but I don't think we have time. So you're sticking with us through the break. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay. So we have questions. I want to see what the role of a state chaplain is and how it's a shaping father. So, folks, more Real Presence Live, broadcasting live from the South Dakota Knights of Columbus State Convention. There's another way. So
in Watertown.
In rainy Watertown. Yeah. So stay with us. More of this special broadcast right after this.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
This is Father Anthony Craig from the Diocese of Duluth. I really want to thank my parents today for giving me the faith of Jesus Christ and teaching me the ways of prayer, praying over us when we were sick, showing us self-sacrifice. My father actually was a deacon, a permanent deacon in the church, and he would bring us along as kids, because there were six of us kids, and he would bring us along to hospital visits or to work in the food shelf and doing all these various things for people in the community. And I learned ways of serving others through that, through watching my dad. And then my mom, she also was very self-sacrificial of herself. She wore the same pair of tennis shoes for about 10 years to show us that she didn't care about herself as much as the rest of us. And we got new shoes for every school year. We had all of what we needed and most of what we wanted. And the Lord really provided a great example in my parents to show me the way to really Christian servitude and prepared me for the priesthood.
Have you forgiven those who have hurt you, especially those who abandoned or left you after taking their own life? I'm Father Chris Alar. Jesus says that you can only be forgiven by God if you forgive others. It is one of the most important things you can ever do, for if you don't, you are jeopardizing your own salvation. When you refuse to forgive someone, you are not hurting them, you are only hurting yourself. Forgiveness is a critical part of the healing process, which includes forgiving yourself. Also, forgiveness may not be nearly as difficult as you think. So join us and learn how to forgive, and God can fully forgive you through His love and mercy. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
We are broadcasting a special edition of Real Presence Live from the State Convention of the Knights of Columbus of South Dakota, broadcasting from Watertown, South Dakota.
Yes.
That's lots of information.
Yes.
We're also chatting with Father Dan Smith. He is the new state chaplain for the Knights of Columbus. So let's dive into that portion, Father.
Okay.
What does that mean to be a state chaplain for the Knights of Columbus?
Is it okay to smile here on radio? Can they see that?
How long have you been the state chaplain?
Since July 5th, so okay. not a full year yet.
Okay.
It's means saying yes. So, okay, means, what do you, you know, as a state chaplain. So when you're asked, you can say yes or no to that process. But in really, it's kind of like a parish. I was praying about this. You know, how does the Knights of Columbus differ than a parish or not? It's a group of, you know, a fraternity of men. But it's really to get them to heaven. So in any of their activities that they're doing, because you're part of that as a knight, whether it's a state convention, whether it's a local council, whether it's, again, we have a building of beds around the corner here, a display that's set up, Tootsie Roll drives, it's to support them spiritually. If there's some questions like morality of some sort, to walk through that, to pray for them, to enhance what they are following and try to keep in line with the church, which they do, which I have seen, but to fulfill that, so to be present, pray for them, to try to get them in heaven as well. And so really, I kind of treat it like as a parish. And they can come to me for questions, and people have. Offer Mass for them, hear their confessions and stuff. And then, of course, at the state level, like I was out at Bishop Muich had passed away over in Rapid City. So as a Knights, granted, I'm from West River, South Dakota. I have friends out there. But I also went out there as the state chaplain, be part of that. Because I have both parts of the state. There's two dioceses here, but I'm in both parts of them. So to be present as possible for that and be supportive in that role. Yeah.
So with this new transition, with Set Ablaze in the Diocese of Sioux Falls, you have a lot on your plate. You have the biggest parish in Sioux Falls. You have St. George, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you have prison ministries, some hospital ministries. And I would feel like that would be overwhelming. And so then the Knights come up to you around the same time, I'm assuming, if it was July, pretty close, and said, hey, how about one more thing, Father? Why did you feel compelled to say yes?
I've kind of said the story a little bit, so hopefully the Knights don't get tired of me telling this, but I love the story. So as being assigned, I was in Rome last year. This is how kind of story went out. I was in on a sabbatical program, and two people contacted me over in Rome. One was the bishop asking me to take on a new assignment, which was an associate pastor, not being a pastor anymore. That's part of the Set Ablaze thing. As an associate pastor, like you said, Hartford, maybe St. Michael's, and then at that point, it wasn't the prisons, but that got added. And then the second person that reached out to me when I was in Rome was Ray Pearson, and he's the state deputy, saying, would you be the Knights, you know, state chaplain? And I knew Ray from 20 years ago, and I immediately felt the warmth saying yes inside. Now, I didn't tell him that right away because there was a lot of things I had to get back home, tell people, you know, in my parishes. I had, you know, Clark Henry and Florence, beautiful people there. You know, kind of, hi, I'm back from, you know, sabbatical, but then goodbye. And so I had to kind of process that. And Ray gave me some time before I actually said yes. And there's a process. I had to talk to my new pastor, Father Tom Hartman, to see if it was okay with him, was okay with the bishop. And then that would actually transfer over to the West River Diocese because they'd have to be notified that I'd be part of I would be the state chaplain for them over there as well. So there was an immediate, I was in Rome, I was in the room, we had a break between our classes, and I just remember reading this email, and this kind of a joyous warmth came upon me when I read the email from Ray saying, would you be the state chaplain? And what a privilege it is. I've just grown in gratitude from that process.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's how you know when the decision is right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Ray, I've never asked Ray, I don't know how long he's been waiting. Wait me out, but it was more than a couple months. But he must have known. But he did mention once. But he said you didn't say no right away,
right?
Because I could have said no right on the email. I didn't. He's like, well, he's in Rome, you know. So yeah,
he's praying about it.
Yeah,
he's
considering. And I emailed, said I did get your email. I'm still praying about it. So
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. It's a perfect spot for you then.
Yeah.
No means yes, right? I mean, well, and that...
Maybe.
It's like, well, okay.
Yeah, no means yes.
Yeah, that's a...
Double that's negative, that. Right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So let's step outside. We've been talking a lot about you as a knight yourself, being the chaplain involved on the inside. Let's talk about you as a priest and as a pastor of churches.
Associate pastor now.
Associate, yes.
A parochial vicar.
There you go.
Yep.
How do you see the Knights of Columbus impacting your parish? I know that the bishop is really calling upon the laity to step mm-hmm. forward, and I would think that the Knights of Columbus have been already doing that, but how are you, as a priest, seeing them help your parishes?
Yeah, so this is statewide, so not specific to the parishes I'm in, but also I see it in the parishes I am in. Let's back up just a little bit on that. My maybe role in the parish is now to be the state chaplain. They've heard a few more homilies about the Knights of Columbus. I mean, I'm talking 3, 4, 5, and it's not specific about the Knights, but sometimes they'll come up that's relative to the homily, and I was like, well, by the way, Knights do these types of things.
Yeah.
So they're getting a little bit of sprinkling. They're not more to sprinkling.
Well, just like anybody knows, if they talk to me, they're going to hear a little bit about RPR.
There you go. Perfect example.
It's who we are.
Because you're part of it. It's who you are.
Yeah.
And then as a state chaplain, the local councils there, one in Hartford and one in St. Michael's, have asked me to do different things with them, so to be part with that as much as I can. And then their role, though, you're seeing them talk on, there's faith formation programs. The one is called CORE. They've got that out. They've had, what was that one? Into the Breach, which is part of CORE.
Yeah.
So these things can go into the parishes, and or the Knights can run them themselves. And I think some of those, I don't know if you have to be a member to all those things. Some of you don't have to be a member to, like, be part of it, obviously, if it's a faith formation program for the parish. So this part of getting closer to God, the laity leading these things, these programs are already kind of set up, especially the faith formation. Well, even in the activities of, again, the bed display around the corner, to bring people into their home some beds, so that lay people can to run with these things and bring these spiritual and corporal works of mercy out into the parishes. And it's not their own parish. It's into the state and actually worldwide. The Knights are across the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think a gentleman or a man joining the Knights of Columbus and joining the fraternity impacts their home life, their family life, their marriages?
Yeah. And I've seen that, I would say that exemplified here. Because the type of men I've been meeting, they're prayerful. They love their home that I've seen. They love their wives that I've seen. Some of the wives are here. So as you join this, you can take that home to your own home, your own wife, your own kids, and be part of that. And you see sometimes it's generational.
Yeah.
Dad was a knight. I'm a knight. And there's a part of a prideful thing, but it's also a spiritual thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we're running out of time. Any last thoughts that you wanted to share with us about being a knight or being the chaplain for the Knights or what you see for the future of the Knights?
Yeah. I'd just like to thank the Knights for asking me. I'm still a little overwhelmed by it being asked, the responsibility, but the gratitude is there to be part of these guys. And one thing neat around here, there's always someone willing to help. There's a lot of guys around. They're good help. They want to help. They know how to help up mass. They know how to set up tables. They're well-defined men. So that's part of the Knights. You can grow in that. You can be a man. There's nothing wrong with being a man.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I would add that. But also as the Knights go forward, to see what's all available. There is a lot, because some people, what does the Knights do? Well, it ain't just one thing. One council might, okay, they do the Tootsie Roll drive. They have pancakes after mass and stuff. It's way more than that. I mean, again, financial things they've got for life insurance. They've got some investments of other sorts. You can help out by. Well, in fact, I was talking to Ray the other day. Bishop DeGrood was going to go out to Bishop Mewich's funeral, mm-hmm. and I said, Ray, why don't you just drive the bishop? He goes, what? He would doesn't he have a driver? And I said, not like that, and he called him. As a matter of fact, he would have said yes, the bishop, but he was coming in on a plane. He was somewhere else.
Right.
So the Knights can be part of that. How can I help drive the bishop around the state?
Yep.
How can
you know, I can help out in the church, maybe paint something, put up something in the back of the rectory. There's all these different avenues that, that Knights help.
Yeah.
So I think that that could just be enlivened even more.
Yeah. Well, and I think one thing, too, so for me as a woman, you know, Knights of Columbus, I love it, and love seeing the men helping around the parishes. But if you've never visited the website...
Oh, perfect point. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
The videos on the Knights of Columbus website. I don't know where that's stemming from or where it began, but some of the little movies and videos that they have on... I don't want to call them little because they're not little.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the great movies that they have on there, amazing.
And what the Knights do are very well done. And they've got
a
national website, but also got a state website, too.
Yes.
So I get those mixed up sometimes.
Yeah. So if you go to the national website, they have amazing things for families, for you to watch, and they're really, really well done.
Yes.
So.
It's not just about a night specific, like you said, families.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Father Dan Smith, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been
thank
too long since thank you've you. Been on the air.
Yes. Thank you. Thank
it's
you.
It's great to have you.
Nice meeting you. Nice meeting you, Doug.
Nice to meet you.
Would you part us with a blessing?
Oh, yes. So, in the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, amen. May Almighty God, in a special way today, here in a particular way here in Watertown, we ask for your graces, your blessings, but also as the listeners here in the region that we reach out today and throughout the whole world. May your divine peace be in people's homes, their hearts. May Knights of Columbus be a part of that as much as they can. And may we all be found worthy of heaven someday. And may God bless each and one of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
All right, Father Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we have to take a quick break here, broadcasting live from Watertown at the State Convention of the Knights of Columbus. Next, we're going to Aram. Aram is going to be joining us with the first Hispanic Council at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Super excited to talk to him. Young gentleman will be joining us right after this break. Stay tuned. More Real Presence Live right after this.